The Prescription Shop, proud supporters of Community Speaks. This is Community Speaks on KBBS. I'm Brady Safranik, and joining me in studio this morning is Sylvia with the Gatchel Museum. Good morning, Sylvia.
Good morning, Brady.
And how's it going today? Wonderful?
Well,
everything's
peachy.
The sun's
shining. Everything
is. The wind has calmed down a little bit from yesterday.
Yeah,
that's it. It was kind of brutal, wasn't it? As long as you didn't have to go outside and brave it too long.
Very true.
Well, today we're going to talk about a couple things. And first, coming up next week, you've got a program titled Memories of Heart Mountain. And the speaker has firsthand experience of this. Is that true?
It is very true.
Tell us about this.
I've actually been to this program before. So the speaker is Sam Mahara. And Sam travels around, really around the country, but I think primarily around the West, talking about his time in particular at Heart Mountain, which was located over the mountain between Powell and Cody. And it was a World War II era Japanese relocation camp, or in this particular case, it was actually called, people were incarcerated in a concentration camp style facility.
Okay.
If that kind of conveys
the other way
starkness.
To say it sounds nicer, but
it sounds a lot nicer.
But the second way to say it is probably more accurate. Is that
in this case it was. I was looking up some additional information actually, and Heart Mountain in particular was modeled after literal concentration camps, primarily because of the Wyoming governor at the time, Nels Smith. He opposed the open community style camps that the federal government was wanting to set up in the area. He wanted it surrounded with barbed wire and guard towers, and that's what happened. So after Pearl Harbor in December of 1941, there was a lot of fear and worry and some gut reaction kind of actions that took place. And one of those things that came out of that was an executive order number 9066, and it was signed in February of 1942, and it authorized military zones, and this was done by President Roosevelt. And so they created assembly centers and informed all Japanese Americans or persons of Japanese ancestry that they had to go to these assembly centers. Many people ended up at these centers for months because the government still didn't quite have a plan in action from that point. So people were being housed in like horse stalls at the fairgrounds facilities and things of that nature. And then eventually they were sent to these relocation camps. And I believe there were 10 of them around the West, and one was in Wyoming. This is Heart Mountain. We had to look this up too, because it was a question posed, why is it called Heart Mountain? And I didn't know. So what I found, according to the Cody Wyoming's, I think it might be their Chamber of Commerce page, is that it was a local Native American name because they thought that from a certain perspective, it kind of viewed a bison heart. So now I'm really curious as to what a bison heart looks like, but I haven't Googled that yet. So Sam Mahara was only 9 when he was moved to that camp, he and his family. And he lived it. He had all these personal experiences because he literally grew up in that camp. And it's really mind-boggling, actually, to think of a couple of things about Heart Mountain. At its height, it housed over 10,000 internees. That's over twice the size of Buffalo.
That's a lot of people.
Almost as large as Sheridan. Yeah, that's a lot of people. It's a lot of people in a very small space. So for folks that have been to the site today, it's a very well-done interpretive center. And they have actually claimed, or I think it was maybe donated, one of the original barracks, because after the site was disbanded and the war was over, all the barracks were then sold or taken by local people and used. But they found at least one, brought it back to the site, and it's an example. You can see that it's basically one layer of thin plywood, and it's so poorly built, it's in no way built for human inhabitation. And that's what all these people were crowded into, was this kind of awful situation.
So we're going to get firsthand experience about that. Where did you hear about Sam Mahara? How did you go about booking this guy for this event?
So I actually learned really about him in particular. I had some knowledge about Heart Mountain, but I learned about Sam and saw his presentation in Laramie a couple years ago. The Wyoming State Historical Society and University had put together a really big shindig celebrating the 125th anniversary of Wyoming's statehood and the history that went with it. And as a giant history nerd, I went to that event in Laramie. He was one of the keynote speakers, and so I attended. And not only is the content very interesting and very, very important for people to learn about, but Sam is a and he's an excellent speaker. He carries you through this story. I mean, you begin the story and you're kind of captivated by it, and he brings you through this like full circle approach. And there's a lot of very poignant, and there's kindness and there's happiness, and he works in everything about it. So he kind of takes you on this like life journey while you're sitting there listening to him.
So by the time you're done, you're very well educated as to mm-hmm. what happened in this particular setting.
Yes, definitely.
At 9 years old, I would imagine that was quite a change from, you know, what you've seen your first mm-hmm. 8 or 9 years to go into something like this. I definitely. Can imagine that takes its toll.
Well, and just the location, the culture shock of, you know, Sam's family, they were on the Pacific Coast, as were many Japanese Americans during that time period. So then to be moved to these centers in states like Wyoming, there was one out in the desert in California. I think Nevada had one, Arkansas, et cetera. That was a huge change just in itself, the geography and place where they were actually at.
Sure. And there's going to be a show next Wednesday in Sheridan, then next Thursday in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Talk about where those are and what times they are.
So, first of all, I'd really like to mention we have a lot of sponsors and help in putting this all together. As most folks know, museum budgets don't tend to be massive. So we very much appreciate our partners. The Wyoming Humanities Council is paying for almost all of Mr. Mahara's travel expenses to get him here and to get him to three communities. So he's actually going into Gillette on the 13th, but he's doing a program there for, I think it's the high school, so it's not a public program, and that's okay. Why we haven't advertised it for them. And then he's coming into Sheridan, and he's doing a program at 7 p.m. at the Whitney Center for the Arts at Sheridan College, and this one is being hosted by the Sheridan County Historical Society Museum and the Whitney Center for the Arts. And I believe the Homer and Mildred S. Scott Foundation also kind of came on board as a host for that. And then in Buffalo, which of course is one I'm excited about, Thursday, March 15th at 6 p.m. It's going to be at the Buffalo High School Auditorium. We have partnered with the Buffalo High School and a couple of history teachers. I'd like to give a shout out to Tiffany Songer and Tanner Hart for helping to make this happen. Mr. Mahara is actually going to give a presentation that morning to the Buffalo High School, Junior High, and KC High School student body. And I think that's a pretty cool opportunity, and I love that folks there set it up and they made this happen. And then the evening program at 6 is free to attend, and that's sponsored by the museum, by the high school, the Humanities Council, and by Lubnow Law Office. So thanks to all of those folks.
So this is free. Anybody can just
absolutely
come watch. You don't have to dig into your pocket to get in the door. That's pretty cool. And that's next Thursday in Buffalo at the high school auditorium, 6 o'clock. And do people need to, are you looking for a head count to RSVP ahead or just show up at the date?
Really just show up. Okay. You know, we're not providing food or anything like that. So the logistics aren't really too hairy. The high school has a substantial seating capacity, so
you don't feel like you're gonna have to start turning people away like, sorry, the seats are filled.
I don't think so. I mean, I would love to have a full house
standing
like that
room only.
Yeah. But we're just really appreciative of being able to use the auditorium for an event like this. It can be hard sometimes to get a lot of people in one location in Buffalo, so
that's true. So again, that is Thursday, 6 o'clock next week. Check that out at the Buffalo High School Auditorium. So let's talk about what's going on over at the museum. What's your current exhibit? I know you're going to be kind of switching things up here in the next couple of months, but you've still got the old exhibit people can come check out if they haven't yet seen it, correct?
That's right. Yes. So we still have our waving state flag and the story of Wernicke's Keys, who designed the flag. That's still up and available for viewing. We are working on our next exhibit, which is going to be kind of a photograph exhibit about Fort McKinney, but we're going to include some other three-dimensional artifacts that have been in storage for a while. It gives us a great opportunity to bring them out and show more of what we have in the collection. Work is going on that right now. We're at the stage, and by we, I mean our volunteers, quite honestly, are at the stage of processing the photographs because they were taken. Okay, I'm terrible with math. They were taken in the 1870s, 1880s, so a long time ago. Yeah, a few years ago. We're getting them ready to reproduce and then to put out on exhibit.
They didn't have digital photos back then?
No, but man, they
didn't even have Polaroids.
They had some awesome pictures. I think there was some real talent. It amazes me sometimes you look at these old images and just how sharp and detailed they really are. The thing I've noticed is they don't tend to have much depth. So like a picture taken in Buffalo might not show mountains behind it, but what's 10 feet in front of the camera is an amazing detail.
Cool. Yeah. And so when are you looking to make the switch for people that want to see the current one and people that are waiting on the new one?
Well, if you want to see the current one, I would say come in sooner than later. We plan to have the new one open mid-May, but there will be some time, that in-between time, where that gallery, we have to take everything down and, you know, touch up paint, patch holes, that kind of thing. So there's going to be probably a couple weeks where there's literally nothing in that room.
Okay.
So definitely come in sooner than later. We are sometimes dealing with some like short-staffed issues. So once in a while, for instance, next week when we have Mr. Mahara coming and doing that program, and then we're also going to participate in the Johnson County Small Business Expo, we don't have quite enough people to keep the museum open. So we're going to have some days where we're closed so that we can be doing other things within the community. Always, if you're on Facebook, check our Facebook page. Jennifer does a great job at reminding folks, letting them know, hey, we've got a closure, or, you know, different hours or whatever. So always look at that or give us a call to find out. And speaking of the expo, come see us at the expo.
Yeah, that should be a lot of fun. That's next Friday and Saturday.
Yeah. Now, of course, I've gone personally to the expo before, but this is the first time the museum has participated. And we sat down, you know, this might be kind of a cool way to visit more with the community and to make ourselves more available instead of having people come over to the museum if they're already at this cool event and they want to learn more about what we do, what's going on, exhibits. Let's make ourselves available to them. So,
and what's nice about this is you know, a lot of these small businesses, with the, you know, not including the museum, everyone knows where the museum is and what the museum is here in town. But a lot of the small businesses at like the expo, you don't even know are in this area.
Yeah.
That's what's nice about going there and seeing some of these things and then checking out some of the other businesses that you might know but can learn more about, like the museum.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Anything else happening over at the museum that's getting everybody excited and fired up? It's just kind of that that time where you're changing things, that changeover of the year.
We're trying to hammer stuff out, and it's taking us a little longer than usual because there's less of us than usual, but things are still happening. Things are getting done. This tends to be kind of like grant season, too, so there's been a lot of...
So you get to do all the writing and all that fun stuff to try and get yourself some grants?
Yeah, Jennifer's been working on a couple, I've been working on a couple, and it's kind of funny because our offices are fairly separate, but once in a while, like, you can hear keyboard keys clicking, and then you can hear like a muffled curse, and then you go back.
We won't say who's muffling those curses.
Yeah. No, it's good. We've been busy, like I said, trying to kind of hammer out projects and get things prepped. And the museum is moving towards kind of a new strategic plan. Our old one ran out, you know, it ended.
Sure.
So we need to look at that again, and we're looking at some new marketing things, and I think we're going to have some kind of exciting news coming down the line. So
there's a little teaser,
but that's all I can say right now.
So maybe next month when we have you on, or would it be later than that?
I am hoping next month, because I am not a patient person, and I really want to talk about this.
At the latest, if it's up to Sylvia.
Yes.
All right, that's excellent. Once again, make sure you check out Memories of Heart Mountain. That's a program with speaker Sam Mahara, kind of a first-person account, and that is coming up next Thursday, March the 15th, 6 o'clock at Buffalo High School Auditorium. Free to attend, show up, and learn something.
Yeah.
We're talking with Sylvia with the Gatchel Museum. Sylvia, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Thanks for having me, Brady.
Absolutely. This is Community Speaks, and it's being brought to you by the Prescription Shop on Fort Street. You've got 1450 AM, 103.5 FM, KBBS.